Today, my prayer is that the Word of God, the living Logos Word of God, the Rhema that you give us, that the Holy Spirit inspires within us to speak, would be given full liberty. That I decrease, that you increase, that my voice would be your voice, that Father, there would be nothing that would entail anything that I would want. But God, it's all about you and what you want to convey and what you want to put into our hearts to live out while we're still here till you come back. I pray that you do that this morning through me in Jesus' name. Amen. Ephesians 6:17. Last week we talked about putting on the helmet of salvation, and we went through what salvation really meant. That our ticket to heaven was just the first step into the door, and that there was so much more. And then today we talk about the what? Sword of the Spirit, which is interpreted in the word itself by saying, what is the sword of the Spirit? The Word of God. The Word of God. So, the Word of God being the sword of the Spirit, it's our only offensive weapon. If you look at all the weapons we've discussed, it is the only offensive weapon in the armor. However, we also know that it's used what? Defensively. It's our offensive weapon, but it's also our defense. To have a good offense, you've got to have a good defense. And God covers both. Remember the belt of truth? Truth is God's Word. And that's part of our defense. So, but in verse 17... Paul says we are to take this sword, take this word, and paraphrasing it, attack. This particular piece of armor is a weapon in our hands, and we are to attack with it. And now I want to tell you this. If you understand the use of the Roman sword back in the day in which this was written in Greek, you will have a better understanding of what Paul is conveying because he was using Greek language and he was using the times in which he lived, which were the Roman times. So because he used this metaphor, and a metaphor meaning sword of the Spirit, word of God, you know, it's comparing the two together again, I want to present to you what he was actually talking about. Now, I went to great lengths to buy these swords, plastic as they may be, except for one of them, so you don't want to touch them. But this particular sword, the Greek word used that was not used, now listen, it was not rumphia. This is a rumphia. Paul did not use this word in this passage. And if you look at this sword, it has a blunt edge, not sharp, and a sharp edge. This is a rumphia that the Greeks used, and they would use it to cut down their enemies, but they would also use it to capture their enemies with the blunt side. If they didn't want to kill their enemy, they would hit them in the knee or hit them over the head to knock them out so they could take them prisoner. So even though it was a lethal weapon, a lot of times it was just used to take captives. So it was a great sword, but it wasn't like this wow type sword. They had two purposes for it. It was called a rumphia. Paul did not use that word. Again, what I want to tell you about that is that if you were to use this particular sword, the Romans had both ideas in mind at the time they were coming at you, that if they could take you captive, they would. Now, this is a different story. The word here, let me look, is distoma. The word here is distoma. Again, Paul did not use, I mean, I might have used it, but Paul did not use that word for this sword. This refers, the word distoma, to any two-edged sword. Any double-edged. What does it mean by double-edged? It'll cut you on either side. Called two-mouthed. A two-mouthed sword. Able to bite you. Isn't that neat in the Greek language how colorful it can be? A two-mouthed sword, meaning that it will cut you on either side. It will bite you on either side. A Roman soldier would take this. But the one thing about it, it was big, it was bulky, and it was heavy. So if he was coming at you, you'd know it, right? So in other words, yes, it was lethal, just like the distoma. But this one would actually take some prisoners, because you could hit them with the blunt side, and still be lethal like that, right? This one, no matter how you hit it, he was intending to kill you, but you'd know he was coming. Because you've got to just get this thing going, and it's going to swing, and you know you get into these big sword fights, and it's a little bit in slow motion. But it was very devastating. Paul did not use that. And you would have thunk that he would. You might be surprised about this one. This one right here. The Greek word used by Paul was Machaira. Machaira. It wasn't a major sword. It was actually a dagger that you carried in your belt. Truth. For close combat. For close hand-to-hand combat. You would ambush a man with this. In the Old Testament, I don't know if some of you remember that I think it was Jehu we were talking about that this morning, I can't remember, but he went into the king, and he went in and he thrust sword into his belly, and the flesh came around it, and he left, and the man was consumed. The Machaira is a dagger, close, hand-to-hand combat. Actually, this was what you wanted to use. It was not used when you wanted to hit a man's head. It was used when you wanted to cut a man's throat. A little bit graphic, but you need to get the picture of what Paul is using when he says the word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword. You need to get a picture when he says to take the sword of the Spirit. This was not used to bonk somebody and to come at somebody and know that you're coming or to take anybody prisoner. This was simply used to cut a man's throat, to take him by ambush. How are you? Good to see you, you know, whatever, and stuff like that. You didn't want to know you're coming. Wham! Think about it. Didn't even know it was coming. Lethal. Boom. Done. Hand-to-hand combat. Ambush. It was used for sacrifices. When Abraham was sacrificing the sacrificial lambs, remember what they would do to the lambs? They would cut their throat. This was used to cut their throat. Had one purpose. To end whatever it is that was started. That's it. Very, very sharp. So when we read this particular passage of Scripture, we think and must think of this weapon right here. This word, Machaira, also means a surgeon's scalpel. A surgeon's scalpel. And we know what a surgeon's scalpel does. You just touch someone's skin with a surgeon's scalpel and it's filleted. So you get the picture? Paul was not talking about coming at somebody, letting them know you're coming and you're going to get into this big fight and yeah, you still may win. Paul was not talking about somebody who you wanted to come up to and take prisoners with. Paul was very adamant saying, no, this is what I'm talking about is the Word of God. It can work in an ambush against the enemy. It can work to sacrifice that animal. It will work sharper than any two-edged sword to do whatever it intends to do. It's going to get it done. That's what Paul was talking about when we talk about this piece of armor that you have within you to work against the enemy. With the spoken word. It's pretty powerful. And it's a graphic illustration. And you can study that if you go back and look at the Roman times. All right. So we have this spiritual dagger called the Word of God that is fierce and formidable against any of the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly dimension, which we read about earlier, right? Spiritual forces of darkness, wickedness, heavenly ranks, remember? These are the things we're coming against in the spirit realm, and we have God's Word, that dagger, to ambush them at any time. Anytime you send a prayer off right away like that, and the angels of heaven respond, you're ambushing the enemy. Probably because he didn't expect us to use God's Word. He knows there's too many lazy people out there that don't go to prayer or don't exercise God's Word. And Jesus made them flee every time he used it. You would think we would understand by now how important it is to have this in our heart. Again, the Word of God. Paul describes the sword specifically. Listen, he describes this sword specifically as the Word of God that comes to us as rhema from the Holy Spirit. Not logos. Remember we discussed that? Logos is the living, active Word within you. After you've received God's rhema, God's knowledge and understanding, it's kind of like receiving knowledge and then exercising wisdom. It's like when you receive rhema, Holy Spirit downloads in you what to do, and then the living Word does it. Okay? So Paul, when he's talking about this sword, is talking about the Word that comes from rhema. Again, rhema, when God speaks to you out of the Scriptures, bringing wisdom to your current circumstance or situation. So whatever you find yourself in, you may not have a Bible with you. How many of you get yourself in a pickle most of the time when it's not in your hand? Because it's usually only in your hand when you're reading it. But when it's hidden in your heart, you got it around all the time. Holy Spirit goes, I'm going to light this one up for you. I'm going to play this song on the radio. I'm going to download this through somebody else. I'm going to have this fall down from heaven. No matter where you are, I'm going to come on the moment and in a moment's notice, and I'm going to light up what you got inside of you, that rhema lighting up so that you can use it for that circumstance. That's what Paul's talking about. Not simply getting in here and spouting off some scripture against the devil. That's not what he's saying. Oh, find a scripture and use it against the devil. No. Read the scriptures, hide it in your heart, and let the Holy Spirit tell you how to fight.
Right.
Because in a unique circumstance, it's going to take the Word of God appropriately given, not just a generalized scripture. That's the kind of rhema he's talking about here in this passage of Scripture. Romans 10:17. So faith comes from rhema. You build your faith when you see God show up, not when you read a scripture, or not when you actually go out and do ministry from the Logos. Oh, that's great, but we're not talking about that here. Your faith gets built up when God shows up in response to what you've just prayed or exercised. The Logos and the Rhema go hand in hand, but Paul is letting you know that if you want to fight, you just can't just sit there and read your Bible. You got to have conversation with the Holy Spirit. You have to have relationship, not religion. You got to have more than just a sit down, I'm going to read. The devil memorized this thing. This is not what Paul's talking about. He's talking about an active, living relationship with God. That when you get in trouble, you get in a circumstance, you've got enough of this in you that you have read out of duty or exercise or however you want to do it. Just get it in you with an open heart. And then the Holy Spirit will take it and use it mightily on your behalf. This word rhema, again, literally means hearing God's word spoken to us by His Spirit. It literally means God's word being spoken to us. You know, you got an app on your phone where you can go and you get the audio, right? Some of you got that. You know, you do Gimme 15 or whatever down there. There's an audio Bible. And, it, you know, you're sitting in your car and you're driving and God's word is being spoken to you. Well, dig this. You're sitting there and you're driving and all of a sudden you're saying, okay, Holy Spirit, I want you to speak to me. And all of a sudden He begins to have a conversation with you. And you just know in your spirit where you're going to park the car, where you're going to go, who you're going to get out to. Are you going to minister to that lady? You're going to do this, you're going to do that. That's rhema, that's rhema. And then the Logos gets activated. So that gets down in there, and all of a sudden the wisdom comes from that little knowledge that you're going to go minister to that lady, and you go out and you actually do the work of the ministry, and you begin to quote scripture, and you do this or that. That's the Logos, the living word that's active and sharp, right? You see how God works? He just kind of floods you with what you need. It's kind of like what Teresa was talking before about, you know, love. You can have a machine, and we'll call that faith, to go and move that mountain, but unless you've got what? Love. You got no motor. It's like having this machine to move a mountain, and you have no motor. Love is what motivates faith. Love is the stronger of the three. Well, that's the same thing. We need rhema. We need logos. We need the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Thank God they're working together in unity, and they always will. Well, they need to work together in unity with you. Don't get so one-sided, you get so legalistic that it's all about just reading the Word. You've got to be open to hearing the Holy Spirit. Activate that Word.
Yes.
This is how God works in us. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And if you don't know God, the Father's love, doesn't do you any good to even read Jesus' Word and have the Holy Spirit activate it, because without love, you're just a noisy gong.
Yeah.
And you're not going to be effectual. People can recognize when you're just giving them religion versus love. Sometimes they don't want so many of the words coming out of your mouth that come from this. They just want a hug and then they'll know that, you know, you love them. You will know they are Christians by our love. God also says that God, the word said God is love, right?
Yes.
And He also says that if you love me, you'll do what?
Obey.
You'll obey me. All that takes relationship. All that takes relationship. So see, folks, we have to listen for His direction as we battle, not simply memorize an applicable scripture and quote it as if it were some religious formula or rite of passage. Because that's what a lot of people in a lot of churches teach. That, okay, well, we've got the sword of the Spirit, so we just got to, when we get into spiritual warfare, just start reading the Word. And sometimes the Holy Spirit will tell you that's all you need to do. But you know by now, after we've discussed it, that there's so much more. Holy Spirit might want you to ambush the devil in somebody's life. Holy Spirit might just tell you to just stand there like this, and all of a sudden, boom! He's not going to have you come at people and, hey, thus saith the Lord, I'm going to give you this rhema right now. You're going to receive it and the devil's going to go away. Folks, it's a relationship. It's hearing and knowing how to move. And it's like a football player on the field, knowing just where to be. You can't teach that. You can teach skills, but you can't teach presence. We used to say that with football players. Field presence is knowing where to go and where to be just because it's instinct almost. You can't teach that to a player. It's a gift. And that's why there's only a few professional football players out there, because they just know where to be. Yes, it takes skill. Yes, we have to have skill. But skill comes alive when we have the presence. When the presence of God is there, he'll take his word and he'll use it so many different ways. Same scripture used 10 different ways. So please understand that I'm not saying that we're not to read our Bibles. I mean, that's the only way that God can. You got to have it in you for him to do something with it. It's just that by itself, without the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, they're just grapha. Words on a page. Words on a page. So, this warfare is no religious formula or rite of passage by quoting scripture. That's not how spiritual warfare works, as the scriptures clearly teach us. Acts 19. God was performing extraordinary miracles by the hands of Paul. So that handkerchiefs and aprons were even carried from his body to the sick. He was so filled with God's inspiration, God's word, God's Holy Spirit, that even his handkerchief was healing the sick. And diseases left him, and evil spirits went out of him. So what was he doing? Healing, delivering, proclaiming God's word, signs and wonders, following God's holy word, right? But also, some of the Jewish exorcists who went from place to place attempted to name over those who had the evil spirits the name of the Lord Jesus, saying, I adjure you by Jesus whom Paul preaches. They were copycatting. They were just reading scripture. Seven sons of Sceva, one was Sceva, Jewish chief priests, were doing this. And the evil spirit answered and said to them, I recognize Jesus, and I know about Paul. But who are you? And the man in whom was the evil spirit leaped on them and subdued all of them and overpowered them so that they fled out of the house naked and wounded. Folks, it's not about quoting scripture. Mimicking your pastor. Mimicking somebody who you respect or has a great ministry. God has plans for you.
Yes.
God will speak to your human heart. He will tell you how to act in a given situation. It may be totally different than I would, but you can still get the job done. Because God has many different ways to heal, and many different ways to deliver, and many different ways to minister. And thank God he does, and thank God we have the diversity of Christ, because things would get boring, and I'm sure he'd get bored. Don't be like the sons of Sceva thinking, well, I'm just reading my Bible and that's enough. No, you got to open your heart to hearing from the Holy Spirit as you're reading. Pause maybe for a minute. Instead of reading five chapters, why don't you read one passage, meditate on it, and then do it. And let God be part of your life in a relationship. Rhema understanding, that flow between the Holy Spirit and you flows out of relationship, not religious study. I'm going to say that again. It flows. Rhema flows out of relationship, not religious study. The Pharisees and Sadducees had it down, brothers and sisters. They memorized this thing. Didn't do them any good. Because they weren't getting rhema.
Right.
They weren't getting what Peter said. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God, our Messiah, our Mashiach. Our Savior, our Deliverer, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Only my Father could have shown you that, Peter. Only through Rhema, only through the power of the Spirit could you have been revealed such things. He says there's a day coming at Pentecost when you're all going to have the ability to hear that Rhema. Don't be like the Pharisees and Sadducees and get so legalistic and worried and scared and frightened and thinking that this is just, I'm just going, okay, devil, you take that. Study must lead one. Listen, study, which is good, must lead us to the one who wrote the book.
Yes.
You can study the book all day. You can meditate on that book all day. But if it doesn't lead you to the one who wrote it, it's grapha. Words on a page. Wisdom, knowledge, understanding. And it will serve to puffeth you up. We need the Holy Spirit to do what? Puffeth us down. Humble us. Remain and be reminded that the only reason you can do what you can do and study the way you can study and know what you can know and minister the way you can minister is through the power of the Holy Spirit. Because in your own strength, you can do nothing. Without his inspiration, your knowledge will only serve to leave you naked and wounded like the sons of Sceva. It's only the one who wrote the book can bring spiritual understanding and life. John 6:63. It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh, your efforts, profits nothing. The words that I've spoken to you are spirit and life. Spoken to you. The words that I give you, I download into you. If you're sensitive and you're aware, at the stoplight, you're going to know it's me. Beyond a shadow of a doubt, somebody will come up to you, give you a word. Somebody will come up to you, hey, I'll share this song with you. And it's right to your situation. I think you're starting to get it. Jesus himself received rhema what? Three times related to his temptations. He wasn't walking out there. I guarantee you he wasn't walking with a Bible in his hand. He wasn't alone. You get that? Jesus was not alone out in the wilderness. Yes, the Holy Spirit led him into the wilderness. But you need to know this, church. He never left him or forsook him. And he will never leave or forsake you either. He supplied Jesus just what he needed by sending him out there in the wilderness. Yeah, I was like, God, what am I found myself here? I'm over here in this circumstance. How did I get here? I want to remind you that you're never alone, just as Jesus was never alone. You may feel like you're in the wilderness at times and that God seems to be a million miles away, but you're never alone, my friend. God is incapable of lying when he says, lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Folks, quite often there are situations we find ourselves in for which we do not have ready-made answers. I don't know about the rest of you. Then suddenly, I love the suddenlies. Suddenly, the answer is there. Is the Holy Spirit what? Activates the word in our mind by bringing forth a specific rhema. How many times have you needed a word from God and all of a sudden, again, like I said before, a song comes on the radio or some stranger walks up and spoke directly to your situation or some scripture just popped into your mind as you were in the early morning prayer? God is real, folks. God is tangible in that way. Don't make him spooky. He told us that we would have to do what? Live by faith and not by sight. So you're going to get the downloaded music. You're going to get the stranger that walks up to you prophetically and says something to you. You're going to get those little things that you're going, I see angels. You know, why? Because we live by faith and not by sight. We live by rhema. We live in, and we're in the Logos. We're part of God's Word here. But when we see rhema, we're activated. Oof. If you can get this, you realize how powerful you are in the spirit realm against the enemy and how formidable you are. But let me tell you something. It's kind of like faith without works is dead. You don't get the rhema if you don't have the living word in you. You got to read it. The Holy Spirit's got to have something to work with. Could he work outside of that? Sure. Does he? Yeah, but that's sovereignly. And then we get into the sovereignty of God. Could he work with an unbeliever? Sure. He can minister through an unbeliever. He can use anything. He can use a donkey, a jackass. He did in the Bible. It's not hard for God to use anything that he made to use for his purposes, for good. But if you want to be used for good, I am here to tell you, you need to bind this word to your heart so he says, then I can come with my Holy Spirit activated and send you out on a mission. Or missions. Yep, he's real. Don't make him spooky. Folks, spiritual warfare has to be fought in this real spiritual dimension because we have not yet been glorified. Yes. I'm going to say this again. Spiritual warfare has to be fought in faith. It has to be fought in this real spiritual dimension because we have not yet been glorified. That's the reason. Or should I say changed? That's coming. Let's look at it. 1 Corinthians 15. Behold, I tell you a mystery. No longer a mystery for us, right? We're being told. It was a mystery. Now you're being told. We will not all sleep, meaning die. But we will all be changed. So when you take your last breath, you're not going to be in the dirt wasting away in Margaritaville or whatever, anyway. There ain't going to be no Margaritaville where people are going who don't have Jesus, I can tell you that. They may sing about it, but there ain't going to be that. It's going to be hellfire. It's going to be weeping and gnashing of teeth. I don't care if you want to look at it as fire or whatever, but the bottom line is there'll be eternal separation from God, who is love. I wouldn't wish that on anybody. What's going to happen to us? In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound, the dead in Christ will be raised what? Imperishable, and we will be changed. Listen. For this perishable must put on the imperishable, and this mortal must put on immortality. So you get it? We fight this warfare in a real spiritual dimension because we've not yet been glorified. We can't see it with our natural eyes. While we're in the natural, we've got to fight the spiritual by faith. And without love, that faith you fight with will be just a noisy clanging. Wow, a lot of warfare going on in that person's life, but nothing's getting done. How many think feel like you've been spinning your wheels, and sometimes there's no ministry getting done? Why am I even doing this? We were discussing that the other day. I think the key has come. Because you have to first have love. You got to love. You got to love people. You got to love the ones that slap you in the face. You got to have genuine love. And I think if genuine love gets ignited into the faith that you have, then we're going to see all kinds of signs, wonders, miracles, and all the other things we've been waiting for. So folks, fighting according to the knowledge you've been given. Fight according to the knowledge you've been given. Don't try to make more of it than it is or try to figure it out any which way but loose. Just let yourself live by that faith. Fight with the tools God's given us to fight with and trust, as I said earlier in the service. Put your hope and confidence in God that He's going to show up when you need Him. That the rhema will be downloaded and He'll do it through. And be aware, quit looking for pennies from heaven. Quit looking for a miraculous angel to come down and endow you with something, you know. Listen for the song you're listening to. Listen for the person coming up, because it may be a little child. A little child may come into your arms and they could speak rhema to you. Right. Just by crying. It'll get you to cry. And then maybe get you into repentance. I mean, He's real, folks. He's tangible. That's how He works. Don't make Him spooky. So fight according to His knowledge. Hide God's word in your heart and let it serve to bring what? Wisdom and life when you're faced with adversity. Let's wind this thing up. Colossians 3:16. I've got three scriptures here for you. Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you. So I've been talking all this time about how Paul uses this word rhema. But this rhema is predicated on the fact that you have a word richly embedded in your heart. And that does come through reading your Bible and being disciplined and bodily disciplining yourself to get things done that God says you need to get done. Because you live in a what? Spirit? You are a spirit. You have a soul. And you live in a body. They are networking right now. One day they're going to get separated. But you are networking. Let the word of God richly dwell within you with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with what? How do we do it? Just by reading God's word? Psalms. We heard one this morning from Teresa. Poem, call it a psalm. I think it's a download from heaven. It was awesome. Hymns. The worship team. Bring in words that jump off of that, whatever we call that up there, into your heart as you sing them. If you're just singing them rotely like the sons of Sceva read rotely, you're going to walk out of these double doors with having gotten nothing from this service.
Right.
But if you're singing with your heart and you're open and you're taking those words and you're saying, Lord, make me part of what this experience is. I want to worship You. I want to be part of this worship experience. You'll get a lot out of it. Right. And maybe you've been coming and you're going, oh, wow, you hit me there, Pastor. Well, then start worshiping. Today. You don't have to worry about what you did yesterday. That's what's great with God. You can start right now. Let it richly dwell within you. Use hymns and psalms and spiritual songs. What do they mean by that? Make them up. I'll come in here sometimes. Thank God you guys don't have a recording. And Eric, don't even get any ideas. And I'll start singing because I'm the only one who can tolerate my singing, maybe besides God. And I just make songs up. I'll take a tune I probably have heard and I'll just start singing. And just using rhema from God, from the Holy Spirit to just start singing songs. And, you know, I try to make them rhyme. And then you get to the part where it rhymes and you're going, so it kind of gets awkward sometimes. But believe it or not, most of the time it does end up rhyming. And I'm not trying, you know, it happens. But I think it's because God just knows that there's a little kid inside of me that just wants to climb up and get daddy's lap and worship. And I want to do it differently than what I'm used to. I don't want to be rote. I don't want to copycat. I want it to come from me. That's why I ask you to stand up and raise your hands and just praise Him. Quit copycatting all the time. Learn to worship God in your own world. The world that He's created, the sphere of influences He's got around you with your heart. He wants to hear your words. I don't care about, you know, no offense to the babies that are being born in here and such like that, but when your child was first born, he was the cutest, and it was the first word he spoke that just knocked you on your feet. You could care less about anybody else's word, and that's what I'm trying to get at. You need your own word from God, because when that comes, nothing will take that away from you. We just have a tendency to doubt and unbelief everybody else's, and rightly so, because there's false prophets and false words. We shouldn't have that negative attitude, but, you know, we just live in a very spiritual world right now, and that's not how it is. But it says, let it richly dwell within you, singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God. Proverbs 2:1-8. My son, if you will receive my words and treasure my commandments, Obedience releases blessing. Repentance brings refreshing. We talk about love not being a noisy gong, but with love goes repentance and obedience. The two go together. If you love me, you will obey me. If you receive my words and treasure my commandments within you. If you doubt that statement right there, read Psalm 119. I dare you. It'll take you a while. How many are there? 140, 160 verses? All but three verses of 160-something verses tells you to obey God's word. Wow. To read God's word, to have it in your heart. Boy, Psalm 119, for those who preach on obedience, is like a big mega treasure. Powerful. Because God understands and God knows our hearts that with love, and we cultivate love, and we have love, when we once get that love, and then we start exercising it through obedience, oh my gosh, can we move mountains? Faith, love, and hope. Greatest being love, but we still need the faith, and the hope meaning expectation that it's going to come to pass, because God said so. Make your ear attentive to wisdom. Incline your heart to understanding. For if you cry for discernment, lift your voice for understanding. If you seek her as silver and search for her as hidden treasure, like you would, then you will discern the fear of the Lord, the reverence of the Lord, and discover the knowledge of God. Then he's going to start downloading into you. Rhema. For the Lord gives wisdom. He gives rhema. From his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. From him, not from reading grapha, not from just reading it on a page. It comes from him, the one who wrote the book. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. He's the shield to those who walk in integrity. Guard the paths of justice, for he preserves the way of his what? What does godly mean? Walking in righteousness, obeying his word. Thank you, Jesus. And finally, Proverbs 4, 20 to 22. I want the word to speak for itself. My son, daughters, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Why, Dad? Do not let them depart from your sight. Why? Keep them in the midst of your heart. Why? Because it's life. It's life to those who find them. And health to your body. You want joy? You want life? You want health? You want prosperity? Hide the word in your heart. Let the Holy Spirit speak to you. Move in the direction he tells you to move. When the wind comes, follow it. And I guarantee you, you'll flow in life. And when you slide around third and slide into home, you'll be glad that you spent your time with God. You will have taken life and you will have lived it. And irregardless of your circumstances, you will have put the living word in you and it will never be taken away from you. And you will enjoy the fruit of all your labors when we do get glorified. For now, we got to deal in the 3D. And with a lot of people who don't have this in their heart, and the persecution, and the trials, and the tribulation, expect it. It's not going to go away. So, to conclude this, hear, read, study, memorize, meditate, give thanks, and worship. Have something in you for the Holy Spirit to get a hold of and make use of. Remember that his rhema comes from taking the written word into your heart and then allowing the Holy Spirit to speak and apply it to your present need. 1 John 2:27 to close. As for you and you and you, the anointing which you receive, the Holy Spirit, the anointing which you receive from him abides in you, it lives in you, and you have no need for anyone to teach you. It's great that we have apostles, prophets, evangelists, and teachers, but the bottom line is, just like love, without love, forget it. The greatest teacher you have is the Holy Spirit. But as his anointing teaches you about all things and is true and is not a lie, and just as it taught you, he says, you abide in him. What does that mean? Don't just sit back and let rhema come, because it can't come without you being disciplined in putting the word in you. It's a combination of the Father, his love, to motivate you to get in it, the Son, who is the living word, and the Holy Spirit, who brings the revelation of the living word who lives in you. God working with the God in you, not your flesh. God working with the God in you. So get the word in your heart so the Holy Spirit can fight through you. You need to go for it. Next week, we're going to begin our study of prayer. Listen now. This is how I'm tying this together. Very important. Next week, we're going to begin our study of prayer. The means, listen, prayer is the means by which all of the armor we just talked about is rendered effective in the realm of the Spirit. Communication, hearing from God, responding with His Word through what? That's prayer, folks. When you're talking, it's called prayer. When you're calling on God, and when you're exercising His Word, and when you're receiving rhema, this process is rendered effective. All of the armor becomes powerful and useful as we exercise prayer. And I know that because what you're going to get next week is going to prove it to you, okay? So remember, the Holy Spirit is our voice of truth. Amen?